friend, for so long you were right and I was wrong. I can't repay all the love you've given me. You were my friend when no one cared. I was alone, but you were there. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life, make it what you have to be. I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Borrowed treasures, borrowed dreams, all life's joys you've given me. When trouble comes, you're always there to make me smile. So come what may, thy will be done. I love you, Jesus, God's only Son. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life, make it what you have it be. I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Turning your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter number 32. Jeremiah chapter number 32. I can honestly and without regret say the best thing that ever happened to me was as a 13-year-old boy when I trusted Christ as my Savior. And I don't say that ashamedly. I can say that. I can say the best thing that ever happened to me was the day that I gave my life to God. And it's a blessing to be here at Faith Baptist Church serving with you all. And so it is a blessing to be here. And thank you so much for that song and for the heart behind that. It's a little bit different being over here on Sunday mornings. And I say that probably every time I come over because it's just a little bit different. You know, there's a lot of things that happen in junior church. There's a lot of things that happen in teen church. Some things I cannot talk about, but there's a lot of things that happen one week I had a teen boy that was sitting on the front row, and no joke, every time as I'm going through my sermon and I'm getting into a story from the Bible, he would act out exactly what I was preaching. Now, you would think, why didn't you call him down? Because I was entertained by it. I was enjoying it. It was pretty good, you know? And so, you know, I've had young people, as I'm preaching, sit in the back, and as I start preaching on something, they all of a sudden just start shaking their head, no. Mm-mm. I've had young people fall asleep, and not to the point where it's just, you know, like snort. And you try and wake them up, and it goes right back to snoring. I have young people who pick their nose and then go on beyond that. I have young people that do that. But I had something happen to me this morning that I can honestly say I've never had happen. I've never seen this happen before. There was a young girl that was, and bless her heart, she was doing her math homework. And part of me is actually... excited about that because the last 2 weeks I've been preaching in junior church about working hard in school and doing your homework and staying on top of it. So part of me is like, you know, what are you doing? This is church time. Listen. But part of me is like, hey, she's getting it. She's getting what I'm preaching. So it's getting in there. Praise the Lord for that. But Jeremiah chapter 32, look at verse number 21. We'll read a few verses here. Jeremiah chapter 32, look at verse number 21. It says, "And hast brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm and with great terror. And hast given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, and a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, and they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore, thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Behold, the mounts, they are come unto the city to take it. And the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it because of the sword and of the famine and of the pestilence. And what thou hast spoken is come to pass, and behold, thou seest it." This morning I'm going to preach a message entitled "The Responsibility of One Heart in One Way." Heavenly Father, I pray that you please just bless in the sermon this morning. Father, I pray that you get me out of the way, and Lord, that you would please speak through, Lord, the message that I believe that you've laid on my heart. Father, I ask that you please help us not to go away from here, Lord, with any knowledge that would soothe our minds, but Lord, something that would work on our hearts and would change us. I pray that you please bless now. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, there's a lot of people who don't want to be held responsible. Something happens and they don't want to be responsible for that. Although they may have done it, although they may be the reason it happened, they don't want to be held responsible. So they come up with excuses of, "It's not my fault." They say, "Well, it's because of how I was raised." Or they say, "Because I'm a product of this society." And they come up with excuses because they don't want to be held responsible. And this is kind of where the Jewish people were at. They were kind of in this place right here. See, the Jews were already under Babylonian rule. Over here in verse number 24, it says the Chaldeans are there upon the city. What is that talking about? Well, Babylon was the capital of Chaldea. And so they were already under Babylonian rule, but now things have gotten worse. The glory of the Jewish people, Jerusalem, was being destroyed. Their beautiful temple that was built and adorned by Solomon, the same temple that Chronicles says was filled with the glory of the Lord, that same temple was defiled. Their promised land was being ravaged. A little before and during this time is when the Bible talks about that certain of the children of Israel were taken to Nebuchadnezzar's palace to be taught, trained, and then appointed to positions of authority in his kingdom. And so, and one of those obviously being Daniel. They were being punished and they would continue being punished until, as Deuteronomy talks about, "The Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone." And I don't know, but maybe there was a little finger pointing going on. Hey, listen, all of the judgment that we are getting right now, it's because of them. It's because of this kingdom, or it's because of that kingdom. It's because of this tribe, it's that tribe, it's this person or that person. And they're doing some finger pointing because they don't want the reason to be themselves. They don't want it to be them. And so years after this, years after what Jeremiah wrote right here, God called a priest to become a prophet. And he's going to foretell some future events, but what he's going to do is he's going to explain exactly whose fault it was and who was responsible for the Jewish people being punished. That man was Ezekiel. So we'll come back here in Jeremiah 32 at the very end, but let's flip over to Ezekiel chapter number 20. Ezekiel chapter number 20. Ezekiel chapter number 20, and it says in verse number 30, "Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers?" You know, in this chapter, seven times does he talk about the house of Israel. One time he talks about the house of Jacob. What he's trying to tell them is, hey, you are responsible as a nation. Corporately, as a whole, you are responsible for what has happened. Look at verse number 6. Ezekiel 20, verse number 6. "In the day that I lifted up my..." let's go back to verse number 5. "And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, in the day when I chose Israel, lifted up mine hand unto the seed in the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God, in that day that I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into the land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands." He says, I've seen you in Egypt. I've seen where you're at. And so I've got something better for you. I've got something that's the best. And he says, "Then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abomination of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Verse 8, "but they rebelled." As a nation, they were in Israel. They were in Egypt. And even while they are being under, while they're in persecution as slaves, and God is saying, "Turn your hearts to me. Turn your hearts to me. I have something better for you." They said, "Nope." And they rebelled against God as a nation. He says, beyond that, look at verse 10. "Wherefore, I showed them mercy and I showed them grace, and I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified them. But the house of Israel rebelled." As a nation, they got brought out. They're in the wilderness, and God is giving them his laws. He's telling them, hey, listen, if you do this, I'll bless you. If you don't do that, I'll have to punish you. And he's warning them. But again, as a nation, they rebel. But God shows mercy. He brings them to the promised land. Right at the cusp of going into the promised land, what do? They rebel. As a nation, they rebel. They go back and they wander. That whole generation is lost. But God shows mercy to the nation. After that generation is gone, he brings them back to the promised land. They go into the promised land. And even after they were in the promised land, they rebelled. Now that they're in captivity, they rebelled. Time and again, generation after generation, they rebel and they rebel. And time and again, God could have destroyed them. He could have done away with them. And by the way, time after time after time in this chapter, he talks about how he could have destroyed them, but because of his name, and because the heathens in that area knew that they were his people, he did not destroy them. He could have. He was in every right to do that. He had warned them, but they still rebelled. You see, they were responsible collectively for the direction their nation was going. They were not responsible for the decisions of their forefathers. They were responsible because of the decisions that they had made. They were responsible for the direction that their nation was going in their time. Look at Ezekiel chapter number 21. Ezekiel chapter number 21. Look at verse 18. This is talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, he comes up to the juncture of two roads and he's trying to decide, which way am I going to go? Am I going to go to Jerusalem or am I going to go to Rabath, which is the capital of the Ammonites? He says, I can go to the Jewish people or I can go to these Ammonites. Okay, look at verse 18. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, also thou, son of man, appoint thee two ways that the sword of the king of Babylon may come. Both twain come forth out of the land, and choose thou a place, choose it at the head of the way. Appoint a way that the sword may come to Rabath of the Ammonites, and to Judah and Jerusalem, the defense. For the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way, at the head of the two ways to use divination. Now, listen, what's happening is, he's there. And why do you think God put this in the scripture? Because God showed that God could have caused them to go to a different direction. He could have protected the Jewish people. He could have done that, but because of their rebellion and because they constantly went against his commandments, he did this. Verse 22. And at the right hand was the divination for Jerusalem, to appoint captains, to appoint the mouth in the slaughter, to lift up the voice with shouting, to appoint battering rams against the gates, to cast a mount, and to build a fort. And it shall be unto them as a false divination in their sight, to them that have sworn oaths. But he will call to remembrance the iniquity, that they may be taken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have made your iniquity to be remembered, and that your transgressions are discovered, so then all your doings, your sin, do appear, because I say that ye are come to remembrance, ye shall be taken with a hand. And so God makes Nebuchadnezzar turn, go right towards Jerusalem. Why? Because it's time. It's judgment time for that nation. Because of what they did as a nation to turn their hearts from God. And you know, I worry about our nation today. I worry about the direction that we're going. We can only turn our backs on God for so long and blatantly go against his word. We can only go against his principles for so long before God judges us in a great way. Look, just read the Bible and find for yourself what God wants us to do. What he says thou shalt and what thou shalt not do. And you'll see that America is responsible for breaking a whole lot of those laws and a whole lot of those commandments. I still believe Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And this is a sinful nation. The sin that we allow to go on, the sin that we allow and the sin that we do not stand up against, it's a sinful nation, and that sin will bring a reproach to any people. Isaiah 60, verse 12, for the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Psalms 20, verse number 7 and 8 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Hey, God, in his mercy, he showed the Jewish people mercy. He says, all right, maybe the next generation will get it right. Hey, maybe you'll be able to take this and you'll be able to go. But time and time again, they rebelled. And that was it. God's not going to judge us for the direction that our fathers and our forefathers have taken this nation. God will judge us for what we do and the direction that our nation goes from here. And what we do. Hey, let me remind you of where our nation started. At the very first Constitutional Convention, the delegates were frustrated due to the burden of the hour. They were burdened and harassed by tremendous crisis. They were so fragmented that they just were about to throw out the whole concept of a constitution completely. Just then, Benjamin Franklin rose and said, gentlemen, if it is true that not one single petal from any flower falls to the ground without escaping God's attention, will the distress of this nation go unheeded? Let us therefore determine to seek his face. And as an assembly, they got down on their knees and they prayed. That's where our nation started. Our nation was a Christian nation. And can I tell you, I don't know that we can consider ourselves a Christian nation anymore because of the direction that we're going. Hey, it's not a secret that God will bless or curse our nation based on what we do as a nation to serve him. We will be held responsible as a nation. Listen, I'm not saying the sky is falling doom, but what I'm saying is we have to do all that we can do as a nation. And really, that all starts with us reaching people for him, for Christ. You know, the lost are going to do what the lost are going to do. They're going to live like lost people. But if we can show them the truth and we can tell them about God and tell them about his love, hey, listen, there's no telling what kind of revival God could give us. There's no telling what could happen. But we are responsible as a nation. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 19. Ezekiel chapter number 19. Not only are we responsible as a nation, but look at this. Ezekiel chapter number 19 in verse number 1. Moreover, take thou up a lamentation for the princes of Israel. The next thing that we see is that not only are we responsible as a nation, but we are responsible as leaders. Ezekiel uses this term princes. He's actually talking about a couple of kings, but the kings were so terrible and they were so horrible that he couldn't bring himself to even use the term kings for them because of how puffed up and how much pride they had and just how much they turned the people from God. And he could not bring himself to saying that. And not only is the responsibility of God's judgment on the nation as a whole, but judgment is going to be on leaders also. Verse number 2, it says, and say, what is thy mother? A lioness. It's interesting that right here he talks about a mother. Later on, he uses talking about another mother. And it's interesting that he would use those terms. Because what is a mother? A mother is a leader of her children. Hey, what is a father? A father is the leader of his home. What is the eldest? They are a leader to the younger. Hey, what is a child? That's a leader to the toddler. What is a teenager? A leader to the child. What is the adult? A leader to the teenager. What is the pastor, the leader or under shepherd of the church? Hey, what is the boss? That is the leader of the job. Listen, every single one of us are leaders in one form or the other. We're all leaders, and we will be held responsible for how we lead. Will we lead by a godly example? Hey, will we lead based on biblical principles? Will we lead with a yielded life to him? God does not judge us on the reception of how we lead. God judges us on whether or not we lead. God judges us on how we lead. God judges you not by the reception of what's been taught, but rather if you taught them. Hey, leader. Hey, I'm talking to the parent tonight. This morning. I'm talking to the parent. I'm talking to the teenager who has young people following him, who are looking up to him. I'm talking to the adult in here who has influence over a teenager. I'm talking to every single person in here. You and I will be judged based on our leadership, based on how we lead other people. We are responsible as leaders. There's two things that I notice here in this chapter based on this. Look at verse number 5. The first mother that it's talking about is a lioness. And talking about her young, it says, and she brought up, verse number 3, and she brought up one of her whelps, and it became a young lion and learned to catch the prey, and it devoured men. And the nations also heard of him, and he was taken in the pit, and they brought him with chains unto the land of Egypt. But when she saw that she had waited, listen to this, and her hope was lost, then she took another of young whelps and made him a young lion. You know what I noticed? One word just stuck out to me. Her hope. Her hope. Listen, leaders in here, be careful of your hopes and dreams for your followers. Hey, be careful as a parent for your hopes for your children. What do I mean? I mean, make sure that your hopes are God's hopes for them. Make sure that your desire for them is what God would desire for them. There was a time when Christian parents wanted nothing more than their young men to be preachers. And so their young men would be mama called and daddy sent. And you know what? That didn't exactly work out that great. There were a lot of people who got into the ministry who maybe should have been in the ministry, but they were in the ministry for the wrong reason. And because of that, there were some mistakes that were made. You know what? Nowadays, I'm afraid that maybe it swung the opposite direction at times. Some parents are worried that their young men might be called into the ministry. Hey, they want their young person to be successful. And praise the Lord, that's great, but let's make sure that our definition of successful matches up with God's definition of successful. As a leader to my children, as a leader to the young people at Faith Baptist Church, my hopes and my dreams cannot supersede God's hopes and God's dreams. I have to make sure that I want God's will for their life. And if God's will is for them to be a preacher, praise the Lord. If God's will for them to be a successful businessman, then praise the Lord, because I want God's will for their life. I don't want my will. Listen, I don't know all. I don't know the turns of their life. I don't know the direction that their life is going to take after they graduate. I don't know what's going to happen, but listen, I know somebody that does, and if we want God's will for their life, then God will bless. And if they will yield, and if we can teach them to yield to God's will, then that'll be the greatest thing they ever learn. The best thing that ever happened to them. But the problem is, when our hopes supersede God's hopes, what happens is our young people are destroyed. They may have some level of fiscal success. They may have some measure of material wealth. But spiritually, they're destroyed because our hopes superseded God's hopes. You know, sometimes it's a matter of just praying and teaching our young people not to do what we say, but to pray for God's will. Look, they as young children, they need to learn to obey. Don't get me wrong. But when your child is no longer a child, they're an adult, they don't need to just obey, they need to seek God's will. They need to seek God's face and find out what His will is and then obey Him. We need to make sure that we need to be careful that our hope doesn't supersede God's hope for those that are following. The next thing that I see is in verse number 10, this is another mother. So we had a mother lioness. This is another mother in this chapter. Thy mother is like a vine in thy blood, planted by the waters. She is fruitful and full of branches by reason of many waters. And she had strong rods for the scepters of them that bear rule, and her stature was exalted among the thick branches, and she appeared in her height with a multitude of branches. But she was plucked up in fury. She was cast down to the ground, and the east wind dried up her fruit, and her strong rods were broken and withered. The fire consumed them. This mother, we see in verse number 10, was fruitful. It says she was fruitful and full of branches. She was fruitful. She had success. God was blessing her. She had fruit to her account. But it tells us exactly why. By reason of many waters. Now, do you know what water is a picture of? In many places in the Bible, it's a picture of the Word of God. So mom, dad, boss, teenager with younger siblings watching you, do you want to be fruitful? You got to get many waters. She was fruitful because she got many waters. Not many different types of, not many different types of versions or many different Bibles, but she went back to the water many times. Amen. She was there constantly, and she was getting that in her. And you know what? As a leader, we need to stay in the Word. Ephesians 5:26, that you may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy Word. John 15:3, now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Listen, if we are going to be fruitful as leaders, then we need to stay in the Word. Make sure our hopes match up with His hopes, and let's make sure that we are staying in the Word. What happens? This vine, this mother vine, verse 12, is plucked up in fury. You know what happens? Cut off. There's no more water. There's no more Word. And because of that, she gets... In verse 12, it says, dried up her fruit. Her strong rods are broken and withered. Verse 14, fire has gone out of the rod of her branches, which hath devoured her fruit. And what happens? Her fruit is gone. There's no more blessings. Listen, we need to stay in the Word. Please, leader, stay in the water. Stay in the Word. Let's be sure that as a leader, we're going to be held responsible for what we do with our children. I'm going to be held responsible for how I lead the young people at Faith Baptist Church. You're going to be held responsible for how you lead those that are watching you. But let's make sure our hopes don't supersede God's hopes. And let's make sure that we stay in the Word to do that. Lastly, look at chapter number 18. We are responsible as a nation. We are responsible as leaders. Chapter number 18, verse number 2. What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine as the soul of the Father. So also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. You see, we are responsible personally. Individual, you are responsible for what you do with the truth that is given you. You cannot blame your mom or dad if you've been given truth. You cannot blame the society. You cannot blame circumstances. You cannot blame anything else because you have been given a measure of truth. What did you do with that? Hey, person who's been presented the gospel, person somebody has opened a Bible and has showed you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven, you will be held responsible for what you do with that. You will be personally held responsible for that. What did you do with the truth that was given you? As a youth pastor, I worry about those that come through our youth department. I worry that they will not make this theirs. I worry that they will make the right decisions because I can't make the decisions for them. Hey, listen, I can't even make them make the right decisions because it's up to them. Parent with a wayward child who's saying, what happened? Did I do right? What happened is when it came down to it, it was their decision. As a leader, you did right, but it was their decision. It was their choice to make. And they are going to be held responsible for what they did with the truth. Listen, I don't believe anybody that sat in Faith Baptist Church for years and years and years and who will not make this theirs. I don't believe that God will just turn a blind eye to them because He can't do that to anyone. You are held responsible for what you do with this truth. The scariest person is a person who hears about the grace that God has offered them and rejects it. You never know how many opportunities God will give you. You never know how many opportunities God will continue to speak to your heart. I've seen people who are under conviction and people who are sitting there and they know that they need to make a decision for Christ, but they will not. And it's sad because the pastor's not responsible. He preached what he was supposed to preach. The soul winner's not responsible. He opened his Bible and he did what he was supposed to do. But the person who heard and rejected, they are the ones that are responsible. Verse number 30 of chapter 18, it says, "Therefore will I judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God." What are we supposed to do? Repent. "And turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God." God doesn't want to punish us. God doesn't want to send anyone to a sinner's hell. God doesn't want to do that. But God has to because he's just. He must do that. What he desires for all of us is what's there in verse number 30, repent. Preacher spoke about that a couple of weeks ago when he was talking about to turn. To turn away. What are we to do? We're to turn away from our own wisdom and the wisdom of the world, and we're to turn to God. And we're to turn to the finished work that was done on Calvary. Hey, that's what we're supposed to do. We're to turn from our own righteousness to God and to the grace that he offers us. Jesus didn't come to just pick out the best. He didn't come just to see who are the choicest gems that I can pick out. The Bible says, "For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He wants to bring to him the person who knows that they're a sinner and realizes that because of their sin, they deserve to go to hell. But God in his love sent his son Jesus to come and die on the cross for them. He did that. Why? Because he loves you so much. But you are responsible for what you do with that. It's a gift that can be accepted or can be rejected. And you are personally rejected for that. Are responsible for that. Trusting Christ is a personal decision that we will be held personally responsible for. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 32 and I'm done. Jeremiah chapter number 32. And look at verse number 37. Jeremiah 32 and look at verse number 37. There's responsibility that's laid on everyone's lap. It's laid on the nation as a whole. The responsibility is laid on leaders, which all of us are. But responsibility is laid on the personal, the person, the individual. But look at this. Verse 37. "Behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath. I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. And there shall be my shall be my people, and I will be their God." Listen to this. "And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever and for the good of them and for the children after them." What God wants for us nationally, for us as leaders and personally, is for us to have one heart. What is that one heart? It says it in verse number 40. "But I will put my fear in their hearts." He wants us to fear him. Not a scared, but a reverential. A respect for God. He wants us to have one heart, a respect for God. Listen, how amazing would it be if our nation had a respect for God again? How amazing would it be if, just as leaders, we had a respect for God and his word? Individuals. And then one way. The Bible says that they should not depart from me. Stay close to God. Hey, the responsibility is yours to fear God and to stay close to Him. To stay close to Him. Just a simple thought this morning. We are responsible as a nation, as leaders, as individuals, to have one heart and one way. To respect God enough to do and to stay right. What will we do with what God wants us to do? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. I wonder if there's an individual in here this morning who does not know for sure that they're going to heaven. Maybe they've been presented with Christ's work and what He did for them, or maybe they haven't. Well, this morning could be the opportunity where someone can show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. If there's anybody in here that says, Brother Mick, I don't know that. I've never asked Jesus in my heart. I don't know that I'm going to heaven someday, but I'd like to know that. I'm not going to embarrass you, but if there's anybody like that, just slip your hand up. Somebody can take a Bible, can show you that. Slip your hand up, put it right back down. Anybody like that? Brother Mick, that's me. I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die, but I'd like to know that. Anybody at all, slip your hand up, put your hand right back down. God has laid responsibility on every single one of us for the direction of our nation, for what we do as leaders, and what we do as individuals, what we do with God's word. I wonder if there's anybody in here that says, Brother Mick, the message that was preached this morning spoke to my heart. Something that was said was a blessing to me. If you say that's me, Brother Mick, slip your hand up, put it right back down. The piano's going to play in just a second, but as it does, if God spoke to your heart, why don't you seal a decision that you need to make by coming down to the altar and praying about it and asking God to help you keep that decision. Father, bless now the invitation. I pray that you please help us to do what we know we should do, to stay right and understand that we are held responsible. We cannot point fingers. We cannot point blame to anyone else. But Lord, it's laid squarely on us. Bless, Lord. As the piano plays, let's all stand. If the Lord spoke to your heart, why don't you come forward? Spend a time in prayer. What have we done? Is there something that we've slipped in? Is there an area as a leader of our home, leader of our children, something that we've done to slip? There's a tremendous burden on every single one of the leaders in here. Some lead many, some lead few, but we all lead someone.